All right, well, let's go to Mobile, Alabama next. Mark's been waiting patiently in Mobile. Mark, you're on Catholic Answers Live. Hello.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
I am blessed. Very good for a sinner.
Excellent. And Janet, and I believe the other man's name was Patrick as well.
Jennifer Roback Morris is the guest name, and she's here.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Excellent. I had your pre-caller, and I told her that I believed that right off the bat, when you say redefine the institution, you were placing words in my mouth. I do not think that allowing gays to marry is redefining. So that's my initial out-of-the-box thought. That now,
if may I respond to that?
Sure.
Oh, okay. So I would gather then that you think that removing the gender requirement from marriage will not change the institution of marriage in any significant way. Is that what you think? Is that fair?
Will it have rippling effects on our culture? Most likely. I find it hard to believe that just about anything that we do will not have rippling effects on our culture.
Morally neutral rippling effects?
I do not think they will be negative, no. I think that the current decline of the family with heterosexuals is totally out of the picture of gays. If you state that heterosexual marriage is in decline, and it probably is, and Janet or Jennifer is most likely right with sexual revolution, contraceptives, these have changed many things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the gays are part of that problem.
Well, I'm not saying they are. I never said that they were. I'm trying to say the opposite of that.
Right. So the long-term negative effects of allowing gays to marry, I understand that you say, well, if you take one step, then who's to say polygamy or marrying your kin? You know, I think that we are logical people, and I think we will arrive at the truth. I believe that abortion is a very bad thing. I think that eventually we will arrive at least at stopping it at an early date.
Okay, Mark, if adoption's off the table, abortion's also off the table. We're talking about the redefinition of marriage. I'd like to know why you think that our presupposition is wrong, this has nothing to do with the redefinition of marriage. You want to redefine marriage, Mark. That's the whole discussion.
Well, I'm not redefining it. I think that marriage traditionally has been through with man and woman over the centuries. And that was the external view of it. I believe that the gays have existed for thousands of years, but they were never allowed the right to marry. Like many people were denied rights. Women were denied rights to vote. Blacks were slaves. We've had many problems with mm-hmm. culture and denial of rights. So just because we denied them rights mm-hmm. for thousands of years, and now that is our culture and that is our history, I see no reason to continue it. I think it is isn't a negative thing. I think that it is possible. One caller called in and said that it is possible that if you allow someone to be recognized by the law as marriage, it might cut down on promiscuity. We do not know that. Now, I know you said it could also have negative effects, but we'll never know unless we try it.
Mark, what is marriage to you?
Marriage is a lifelong commitment through, for better or worse, to the person that you feel this for.
Okay. Do you exclude?
To be heterosexual.
All right. Do you exclude children from the definition?
Children are a product of man and woman copulating.
Right.
Inside and outside of marriage, all through history. Now,
right. But I mean marriage of an adult to a child or a child with a child. You would exclude that, right?
I would exclude that.
Would you exclude siblings getting married?
I would exclude siblings getting married.
Why?
Well, I think that science or God, whatever you wish to call it, dictates that siblings are going to have some genetic problems. And that is There's just no question.
Well, what about two brothers? What about two brothers?
Two brothers? You know, I mean, it's a fine line.
Mark, come on. This is a bright, flashing neon line here. What's your answer to Jennifer's question? Two brothers, can they marry or no?
Personally, I wouldn't think that would be right.
Personally.
To me, that's crossing the line. But hey, like you say, perhaps I'm opening the gate for this line to be obscured down the road in another 20 years.
There is a movement in Canada and in the Netherlands to have polyandry, to have a polyamorous,
multiple marriages.
Multiple spouses.
Well, there was not too long ago a news report about three women who married each other in Massachusetts. And one of them is now pregnant, and they're, you know, talking about and planning how the three of them are going to take care of this child.
There's even a term for it, thruple.
They're a thruple, yes. The two of them are legally married, and they did some kind of legal and symbolic ceremony to bind the third one to them. And the point of us bringing that up, Mark, is to say, is not a so-called slippery slope argument. It's really a logical argument saying that if you have man-woman marriage that is ordered toward the good of the spouses and the procreation of children, if that's the purpose of marriage, if that's the institution of marriage, then there are reasons for all the different groups that you exclude. There are reasons why siblings can't get married, and you don't marry children, and you don't marry people inside their immediate blood relations, and you don't marry three. You don't marry three or four people because there's some structure to the institution of marriage, and it's not simply about intense emotional feelings. But once you remove the idea that structure is somehow important, and which removing the gender requirement certainly does do that, once you do that, there's no logical stopping point from that. There's no logical reason to say that you need monogamy, for example. There's no logical reason to say you can't have two brothers marry one another, and so on. And so what I think is the biggest problem of this particular movement that we have now, it's true marriage has changed in lots of different ways, but this is a profound change in the understanding of what marriage is and what it's all about. The biggest problem is that by the time we're done with it, by the time people like Judge Vaughn Walker are done with it, by the time the legal system is done with it, there will be no purpose left to the institution of marriage. It's nothing left to it but a government registry of friendships. Mm-hmm. And we don't really need a government registry of friendships. And so, therefore, the next step will be, well, let's just abolish marriage altogether. And I think that's the logic. I think that's logically where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no doubt that some of the gay activists want to end up in that place. Some of them don't. But logically speaking, I think the radicals are correct in their assessment of where it's going to end up.
Mark in Mobile, thanks for joining us. It's Catholic Answers Live. Time to have our last break with our final segment in a few minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. 888-31-TRUTH, calls only from people who want to redefine marriage, please. This is Catholic Answers Live. My name is Patrick Coffin. Again, that toll-free number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have a marriage in your life, whether it's yours or a loved one that's in trouble, or a good one that you think could be made better, you want a wise and funny book, get the book written by our guest, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, with Betsy Karakas of the Ruth Institute. It's called 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. You can get one at ruthinstitute.org. 1-888-31-TRUTH. We will be right back.